Yeah, some people say, why don't you go and get a first life before worrying about your second life? But in fact, Second Life is a phenomenon on the internet where there's a whole virtual world. And we've got two pioneers of Second Life who've done some great stuff with what's happening in terms of the science that you'll find in Second Life with us today. And that's Gordon Clark, and he's a researcher and he's based at the National Physical Laboratory where he's doing all this work. And also Dave Taylor from Imperial College London. Let's kick off first of all with Dave. So Dave, what actually is Second Life, first of all?
Well, Second Life is a three-dimensional virtual world made of islands which can either be standalone or joined together into continents. Much of Second Life is to do with social things and entertainment, but there is a serious side, and there are a lot of scientists in Second Life and technologists who collaborate, attend meetings, hold discussions.
How does it work? What's the actual interface? How do people get into Second Life?
Well, you have to run a specialised browser, which you can download from secondlife.com or from silence.org.
It's free, isn't it?
It's free, yes, that's right. But you can't use a web browser. And that basically gives you a view into this virtual world, which is currently, I think, about 15 times the size of Manhattan. So there's a lot there.
Wow, that is quite large. So if someone were to appear there, or they went on, what would they see? How would they sort of be incarnated in this Second Life?
Well, you have a great deal of choice about what you look like. You can get to choose if you're male or female. You can get to choose what your clothing is, your hair colour, everything like that. It's totally customisable, and it's up to you what you look like.
Oh, so this could be quite good for people who don't really want to look the way they do. If they feel a bit intimidated about interacting with people in real life, then they can have all the interactions, because you can presumably talk and exchange messages with people in Second Life, but you don't have to look like yourself, basically.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's two groups, really. People who like to look a little bit like themselves and people who want to look completely different from themselves.
So what do you look like?
I look kind of similar to myself.
So do I, yes.
a bit, but quite a bit younger, I think.
About right.
So would you fool Kate Smith-Miles' software that we were talking about earlier with your... because it's called an avatar, isn't it?
The
person you create. So when you're wandering around in Second Life, you're actually wandering around as you see yourself as a person in there.
That's right. And, of course, other people. So immediately you get person-to-person interaction, which you don't normally get when you're staring into a computer screen.
And what about if you want to converse with someone? We're having a chat, we've got eye contact. So if I was in Second Life as a person, I'd be able to see myself and say, Dr. Cat here, or you guys, I could see you there, and if we wanted to talk, what would happen?
Well, you can type, and some people are a little bit too shy to speak, so they're quite happy typing. You can give private messages to one another as well. But as you type, the words that you're typing come up above your head. Or you can speak. So
it has real full speak?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Skype on steroids.
Why do you say that?
Because it's three-dimensional sound. So if somebody's on the left, you hear them on the left. If they walk towards you, they'll get louder. Unlike the real world, you can actually move your point of view, and your ear goes with your eye, as it were. So you can listen to that group in the corner and see what they...
Well, let's look at the sort of science that's going on in there, because this sounds like an amazing tool to do science with as well. So what sorts of projects are going on at the moment to get the message about science across?
Well, I think you have to remember that when you go in world, when you go into Second Life, everything you see has been created by one of the other avatars. It's the users that create everything. So if you want to do something scientific, you take your experiment or your design, whatever it is, and you go in world and you build it. You can build anything from... there's a Mars impact simulator, which is brilliant, because you have this asteroid comes down out of the sky and hits the ground in front of you, and there's debris and flames flying everywhere, and a big crater forms.
You can go on a ride to the planet.
And, so who hosts you? Is that Richard Branson and Virgin, or is it existing characters?
No, he's not in there yet.
So who takes you to the planets, then?
The International Space Flight Museum has got this ride to the planets, and it's a Gemini rocket. You just hop in the rocket and you launch yourself.
And how realistic is this? Is it scientifically realistic and reasonable? That you're not bending scientific rules to do this? And also, is it a valid educational experience? People learn something by doing this?
Absolutely, yes. It's a valid... The trip to the planets takes you past the International Space Station. You can have a look at the space shuttle. You can visit the planets. You can even visit the surface of Mars and see some of the vehicles that have landed there.
Yeah. And last week I took a trip around a testicle. And it was a...
What?
Well, quite. I'm not going to repeat that again. But it was looking at spermatogenesis, you know, the formation of sperm within the testicle.
And so what you can actually see, so it's in big sort of blown up
versions. Oh, yeah, it's absolutely
huge. Almost like walking through the body of the Millennium Dome.
You sat in a little flying car that guided you through all the various ducts and you could...
So that could actually be very good for learning anatomy if you're a medical student or something, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it was very accurate.
You know, how do you see this being extended? Because, I mean, one of the reasons that you're here today is because you phoned me up a while back to say, look, you think there could be some possibility for the naked scientists getting involved with this. So we actually did start to talk and we've done some stuff. So tell us a bit about actually what you have in mind with this.
Well, it's great fun attending meetings in Second Life with other people. There's a lot of repartee in the audience. There's a lot of people who help to explain things to other people. So actually listening to a radio show together is a great activity to do in Second Life. So we thought you could do with a studio audience, and you can have one in Second Life.
So take us on a sort of virtual radio tour of what you've set up in Second Life for the Naked Scientists, Gordon.
Well, we're part of a group of islands called the Silence, and right in the centre of the Silence, we have built you a radio theatre. It's rather a fetching building with a radio mast sticking out of it, and the name Naked Scientists rotating in bright purple at the moment above it. And people can... I know there's some people there just now listening to a test transmission, so I'd just like to say hi to Troy and all the other guys out there.
Hi, Troy.
And people can just, they can sit, they can relax, they can listen to the radio show, and they talk to each other. You know, there's a lot of text chatter going on during
these
shows.
So this is just like, so you get the Naked Scientist radio show there, so it's live. You know, we're piling it out of here and straight into there, so people who go there can hear it once it's all running, but they're also able to talk to each other while the show's on, so they can have a sort of mini discussion. It's a bit like Oprah Winfrey, I suppose, but on the Naked Scientist, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to another radio show last week, and I ended up having quite an involved discussion on the philosophy of science.
The interesting thing is that a lot of course can come out of people from different disciplines meeting and having corridor discussions. So where there aren't corridors in the real world, we've kind of built these corridors in Second Life. And you, for example, two organisations that normally wouldn't have got together, the University of Denver and the National Physical Laboratory, we were sort of having a neighbourly discussion. We decided we should build a nuclear reactor in Second Life, and that's a project that's now off the ground as an Anglo-American collaboration.
And when you say build a nuclear reactor, this presumably models a nuclear reactor so people can go in there, see what it looks like and see how it works.
Yes, and we're modelling a specific scientific experiment, so again the students don't have to be exposed to radiation, they can do the experiments in safety. And
just the X-radiation from their computer screen that they're looking at.
Or an LCD maybe. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, if people want to come and have a look at the Naked Scientists in Second Life, Gordon, and even listen on a Sunday, how would they do that?
Well, as Dave said, they would need to download the Second Life viewer and register their own avatar. And then they need to search for Silands, which is SCILANDS.
Well, even easier, if they actually register at silands.org and download from there, then they will appear in the middle of the Silands, right next to where your show will be broadcast from. And they have a 10-minute orientation, so they find out how to move around as an avatar, how to speak to people, how to listen, and so on.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much to Gordon Clark and David Taylor for an introduction to Naked Second Life. Thanks, guys.
I do have enough problems in my first life with but it might be worth joining Second Life if I could crawl through a giant testicle. Very, very tempted. Anyway, still to come, we're going to find out if Dave and Ben did ever manage to charge an MP3 player using just fruit. And in question of the week, we'll discover quite how selective your sense of smell is.